Thanks for joining us on the JX today. Topic number one is hemp. And when we say hemp, we mean hemp, the version of the cannabis plant that does not get people stoned. It's got very low levels of THC. The federal government is okay with hemp now, so there is research and funding and businesses getting launched. Oregon State University's Global Hemp Innovation Center recently announced a federal grant to work with Native American tribes in the West. Let's pick up the story with Jeffrey Steiner, the director of the Global Hemp Innovation Center, which will mark its fifth birthday in July. Jeffrey Steiner, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Hey, thanks for having me here, Jeff. Glad to be here.
Sure. We talked to you a while ago. Catch us up on the work of the center and what keeps you busy.
What's keeping us really busy has been our success on obtaining good solid funding from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and to be able to build out our research capacity, extension, and education capacity through our faculty who participate in the center. And this latest award that we received from the National Institute of Food and Agriculture is an example of that.
So to hemp itself, I mean, it seems to have almost boundless uses. What makes it so versatile?
I think it's just it's been a crop that's been used by man for millennia because of its, as you pointed out, it's a close cousin of marijuana. It was really taken out of the toolbox of manufacturers and agriculture and businesses because you could not grow hemp in the United States basically for 80 years. But now the versatile types of raw materials that can be produced from it, cannabinoids, other chemicals, fibers, various other industrial materials, as well as grain for food, all from one type of plant, that just provides a lot of opportunities to make a lot of different products from it.
Is it unusual? I mean, we know soybeans can do lots of stuff too, but I mean, it seems like hemp is kind of in that league of being able to do lots of different things.
That's a good observation. You know, where soybeans, corn, you know, you're primarily growing those crops for the grain or for the stock that can be made into livestock feed. In the case of hemp, not only can it be used for food and feed, it can also be used to manufacture other industrial products from it that have nothing to do with the grain that's produced by the crop or the, you know, the pharmacological chemicals that are also produced.
What kinds of products, then, are we talking about?
Well, there's many, many, as you pointed out, Jeff, but what we're really focusing in on is the stock of the plant and how, you know, roughly 10% of that stock is made up of long fibers that can be used in woven and non-woven textiles, to be used as elements in bio-based plastics, as well as the heart of that stock of the plant, which could have a lot of versatility as an aggregate substitute in the making of things like hempcrete that can replace cement.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, all kinds of applications here. We were talking to Jeffrey Steiner, the director of the Global Hemp Innovation Center at Oregon State University, about the hemp center itself, but also recent grants, including a big one that will help create partnerships with Native American tribes across the West. You can join us with your questions, comments, musings about hemp and its uses by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Jeffrey, have there been some fits and starts since the federal government eased up on hemp regulation? I ask because it seems like there was a year or two there when there were multiple busts of places that were permitted to grow hemp but were growing the higher THC stuff instead.
Yeah, you know, and that was, I think a good part of that was, well, again, the focus was on primarily cannabinoids like CBD, CBG, those molecules that have versatility in healthcare products as potential medicinals and so forth. That was with the 2018 Farm Bill, the allowing hemp to be grown as a U.S. commodity. There was a huge upswing in interest and production of hemp, but the difficulty for those chemical type hemps, the flower hemp, was that the amount of production way outpaced the amount of market and capacity to produce those products. And so there's a huge slump. For example, in Oregon, you know, in 2019-20, I think we were up over 60,000 acres of flower hemp in the state alone. And that pretty much reflected what has happened across the United States. But again, the market outlets for that was not there. There was overproduction, so it crashed. And we're still seeing growth in the market of cannabinoid products from hemp, but just not at the pace that people were projecting at that time. So with that then really came in 2021, the real need for, and this is what our center did, was that we really shifted our focus, made a pivot, and really wanted to start looking at the industrial products from the other parts of the plant.
So I want to be clear, the federal government, I can't imagine, would allow any grant money to go to things that research the cannabinoids, or am I wrong?
Oh, no. I mean, there's you know, no problem with that. We've received funding. In fact, we got some recent funding from the National Institute of Health to look at some minor cannabinoids, to characterize them, to look at their pharmacological, their toxicological properties. You know, just like we'd want to look at any other plant that produces secondary plant compounds, like hemp does. So, no, it really was made legal in that regard, particularly with hemp, because it's, again, 0.3% or less THC, which puts it in a class of being a common commodity and not marijuana.
All right. So that is the drawing line. If it's above 0.3% THC, it is not part of this discussion.
Right. And that's what we focus is on, hemp. But there are institutions that are working on marijuana, you know, looking at marijuana plants. It's just that our center does not look at that. We're looking at strictly the industrial products from hemp.
Okay, so I was surprised to see that there's actually been quite a string of big grants that come from the Federal Department of Agriculture for hemp industry products. You kind of gave us the broad brush at the beginning, but it sounds like they've come in several times for several different purposes.
That's right, right. And our center's been fortunate because of our talented faculty. I think also because we very much are outward focused, looking at the needs of industry. And so we've kind of found the sweet spot, Jeff, you know, where we engage with Oregon farmers and processors, as well as others around the Western United States and beyond, and really looking at what are the things that keep them from being able to move forward with their business plans. And we really try to focus our research on that to help them.
Well, it's been an interesting time. I mean, since you started up in 2019, obviously the pandemic and then, you know, other things involving hemp and not hemp, plants that were grown for THC purposes. But, I mean, with the grants already in hand, have there been some, can you point to some established avenues of hemp or new businesses that are hemp-based?
You know, we're working with established businesses. Like, so let's look at the chemical sector, you know. We're working with some very large producers at how to find additional products that they can have from the byproducts that they extract when they take out the CBD, CBG. There's, you know, residues that are left behind that are rich in minor cannabinoids. As I mentioned, that NIH grant that one of our faculty recently received is looking at characterizing those minor cannabinoids, and then also taking a look at, you know, what is their pharmacological, their toxicological properties. That helps to build into good factual-based market development down the line. We're also right now looking at the aromatic characteristics of fresh flower hemp and, you know, what is it that a consumer is interested in there? You know, is there a common language that can be developed to describe those aromas, just like in the hops crops are used in the brewing industry? So, you know, that's benefiting small producers as well as large producers of hemp, on helping them move along their business operations. However, at the same time, then we're looking at these new products and engage with food companies, beverage companies, industrial processors, you know, that are looking for novel ways to process the hemp stem, how we can all work together to take all these fragmented pieces and try to put them together in a cohesive way of looking at how we can expand the opportunities for producing hemp and having markets for that production to feed into.
Jeffrey Steiner is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the director of the Global Hemp Innovation Center at Oregon State University, talking about a series of grants, including a recent one that will allow partnerships to be set up between the center and tribes in the region. You can join us with emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Peggy in Eugene wrote in and said, I understand the Declaration of Independence is written on hemp. Canvas, rope, sails, all kinds of stuff like bamboo that can now be used for furniture, flooring, towels, socks, etc. Thanks for that, Peggy. Is bamboo a pretty good comparison there, Jeffrey?
You know, I think that is one that's a specialty crop that can be used for manufactured wood, you know, substitute for wood products, hardwood flooring. Hemp has use like that. you mentioned rope and sails, you know, and sackcloth, but we're looking at not only what the potential is for using hemp for those, particularly in how do you utilize all of the plant and not have any waste product left over, but we're also interested in how parts of the plant can be turned into activated carbon that may have use in ultracapacitor industry. We're interested, as I mentioned, in the aggregates that can be made from the core of the stock that could be used in the manufacture of hempcrete for construction materials. You know, we're also interested in, you know, again, how microfibers, you know, small lengths of fibers can be a component in bio-based plastics. So, you know, we're looking at what are the different options that can bring the greatest return on investment for utilizing that plant in the highest value product. That's really what we're interested in, Jeff. Not excluding anything, but really trying to focus on those parts of the plant and how they can be utilized in these value-added, higher value products.
So we haven't even talked about this latest grant, $10 million from, is it from USDA? Yeah, it is from USDA, National Institute of Food and Agriculture, for partnerships with the tribes. I assume that there's already been some outreach between tribes and the center?
Yes. In fact, going back to our very first grant that we received from the National Institute of Food and Agriculture a couple of years ago, another $10 million grant, we had become engaged with various tribes that were interested in hemp. A lot of that first grant was to be looking at chemical hemp. But as I mentioned, you know, there was a real overproduction, a shift in the market availability for that, a downswing. And so working with the tribes, you know, we helped them pursue their interests and how they could gain experience with hemp. We had a second large grant, which is a USDA Climate Smart grant, where we're looking at how do we look at incorporating hemp and many other crops into a climate smart approach for reducing greenhouse gas emissions, increasing the amount of carbon in the soil, again, looking at ways to increase value to producers. We had half of that grant was involved with tribes. And with this one, well, the entire grant is looked at working with and helping to develop an intertribal business development consortium. And then we'll serve as basically a source of information for them making business and science-based decisions on what are the avenues of hemp investment they should look into for possibly for bio-based manufacturing with hemp.
The consortium is really interesting then. You got the tribes working together potentially on businesses and biomanufacturing and all kinds of stuff.
Right. You know, if you look at the history of North American Native American tribes, there's been trading networks among them for millennia. Explains why turquoise is found from the southwest, is found way up in the northwest or the northern part of the United States. Tribes have been trading materials, you know, like I say, for eons. And it's using that same principle that some tribes are land rich and have the potential to produce hemp. Others have needs such as new, safe, affordable housing, and hemp could fit into that. And so how do you connect all those pieces of tribes and their interests and their capacity, their abilities to invest in manufacturing? We just want to be a source of information and basically act like consulting engineers to this consortium to help them realize their desires for how they want to move forward with bio-based manufacturing.
We're down to our last minute, and I see that one of the objectives of the grant is to provide education and engagement opportunities by creating a curriculum, you know, kindergarten through graduate school. I mean, is there a lot of catch-up in hemp? I mean, because of all the years when there could be no funding for research and that sort of thing?
Yeah, you know, that and sorting through, you know, what are common beliefs, what are more advanced type of knowledge that needs to be developed so good, solid decisions can be made. But we're using hemp as a vehicle then to help develop STEM curriculum in cooperation with schools, with tribes, with teachers, to help, you know, advance student education all the way from kindergarten up through high school, but also looking beyond high school and looking at, you know, trade school development. How can we bring hemp construction knowledge into existing construction, electronics, you know, building, masonry work? You know, how does hemp fit into already the disciplines that are out there for construction management?
Okay, lots more to come with hemp, it appears, and lots of people working on figuring out the highest and best uses of it, particularly with a big boost for the government for BBMP, bio-based materials and products made from hemp. The Global Hemp Innovation Center is at Oregon State University. Jeffrey Steiner is the director. Its most recent grant, $10 million from the federal government, will help establish relationships with tribes to get them further down the road of hemp use. Jeffrey Steiner, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for the invitation, Jeff. Glad to be here.
You bet. This is the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. We're back to talk about Oregon's kicker in a minute and a half.